We are coming off a Falcons loss this Monday to the Seahawks at home. 34-14 is the final, or was the final score, I should say. We've covered a lot of ground with this matchup. Something we haven't talked about yet was a matchup within the game that Coach Raheem Morris said he was looking forward to seeing. And that was with AJ Terrell and DK Metcalf. So I want to get your thoughts on that, because I know, Mike, you said even from from just looking at DK Metcalf on the field, you could just see.
Looks like a robot. Looks like a robot. And that's how I think obviously his numbers are good. The backbreaker before halftime was just that. It was a backbreaker in a lot of different ways. I think Jesse mentioned that. I think AJ Terrell, it's frustrating because I don't know that Raheem wanted it to sound the way he did when he talked about the buildup to that matchup. Like, can't wait to see those guys, because now you're going to go straight and look at DK's numbers and think, oh man, AJ just got smoked the whole game. And I don't necessarily think it was that.
And that's not the case. Yeah.
When here's the thing. When you pass as often as they do, and you have a receiver like they rely on in DK Metcalf, it should never be one man's job.
No.
And second of all, I don't think it was. I think they tried to involve other players and play, you know, a style against him that would benefit, and it didn't work out. And I don't think that's all on AJ Terrell. I thought he played a decently physical caliber of a game. I know that there's probably a couple plays he'd like to have back, but I don't think this is all on his shoulders to the point where you're like, man, he got smoked. It just DK doing DK things, and in the end, he gets his numbers, and you're going to look at AJ because he just got paid and he's CB1. But
that's why
it was DK doing DK things. Yeah,
a lot of people are going to like look at things like, oh, it all falls on one guy and that's his player, and that's not how football works.
Well, not when you're playing zone coverage and you got what, like the outside technique, which means you're basically lining up where you're funneling people inside, and he did funnel DK's route was obviously across the middle of the field, and you got safeties there, and they're not there. I mean, you're supposed to have help there on that touchdown, and he didn't have it. So that's what drives me nuts, is you see a guy in the general area, and you're like, oh, see, he blew that coverage. It's like, well, you don't know what the coverage was, most likely.
Yeah.
You can only go by what you think you know, and so that's the one.
Happens to O-line all the time. Man, you know.
No, they're always at fault.
Running back gets blasted, and you're like, man, O-line sucks. And you're like, well, they can't pick up nine people. There's only five of them.
This is true.
But here's the thing. I will say this. DK had almost 100 yards receiving. It came on four catches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like this guy went off for, and it's probably a bad comparison, but these are kind of, it was a Mike Evans style of game, but Mike Evans, when he goes off in the Falcons, has more catches than that, but it seems like they're all explosive. You know what I mean? Like when you get him down there, you're like, man, Mike Evans again. And you look back and you go, well, he only had four catches, but he had 100 yards. Like, how did that even happen?
One of those was a 35-yarder. The other, I think, was like 20-something.
Brutal.
And that 35, I think, was a touchdown. So, but that was the drive. That was the play. That honestly was the play. You can look back at the strip sack and say that was the play where the game was over. But the momentum in the game changed when DK Metcalf caught that touchdown to make it 17-7 in front of the half. Because before that, it's 10-7, and you're right there in that. You've survived the wave, right? You've survived a lot of self-inflicted mistakes, and you've been able to just keep it close, even a missed field goal. I mean, it could have been 10-10 if Youngway makes that 53-yarder early in the game. But that was the one that kind of broke your back, and everything changed after that.
Well, post-game, Kirk Cousins, the QB, he caught up with Dave Archer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Kirk, energy in the building seemed to be kind of flat. I thought both teams kind of started kind of slow. Tell me about what it felt like in the game.
Yeah, I think it's our job to bring the energy the way we play. And, you know, first series had the penalties, the pre-snap penalties that made it hard to overcome that and get the first down. And then the second drive, you know, I missed Ray on that third down. I thought we had a chance for a touchdown there. I threw it long, and that one loomed large as the game went on because we ended up missing the kick. And then got a touchdown, and then had the two-minute drive at the end of the half, didn't get anything. And so then we kicked it back to them, and they were able to go down and get points. So those four possessions, you know, we were close, and then we just didn't make the play we needed to make to come away with more points. And the second half felt like we were, you know, starting strong with a touchdown on the first drive, Then got back down 10, and we were really right there. I still think in the fourth quarter until the sack fumble, you know, on my part that I felt, you know, that started to kind of change the tone of the game.
Well, there went a whole bunch you could have done about that. I know you're trying to escape and get the ball out of there. Tell me about the run game. You guys got cranked up the run game, got it going pretty good. Looked like did they change anything? Because they kind of started to swell up against the run against you guys late.
Run game was good. You know, Bijan went for 100 yards. Thought we had a lot of productive runs, including the start of the two-minute drive at the end of the half. Run game was good. You know, I think being down, I think it was hard to be, you know, patient with the run game, but it was good every time we called on it. And so, you know, I guess that was encouraging to see.
When you come back this next week, obviously you guys have played extremely well on offense, maybe not quite as good as you would like to this week. Tell me about your thought process as you go back to work, get ready for this next game.
Yeah, you know, this is pro football, and you have to go back and have candor about, hey, I got to be better, this has to be better, make the improvements, corrections, and then it put together a strong week of practice, and then go with a resolve to Tampa and plan on playing your best football you possibly can. That's what it takes to win in this league, and that's what we have to do.
Kirk, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
That was Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, with Dave Archer wrapping up this loss to the Seahawks, 34-14. I know we won't get ahead, but he did mention that Tampa game. This was a tough stretch for this team because you go from Seahawks to Bucks, Saints again, right? I believe, if I had that correct. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a
Cowboys game, I think, in there.
And Cowboys are, Tiff. Yes, Cowboys
mixed in there.
That might
be week before Saints. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, because it's weird because we've played so many home games, and then we go on the road, and we come back and play them again, and then we're like, on the road for two straight weeks before the bye.
It's worrisome for me. That what you just said is worrisome for me.
What's worrisome for me is you've got three losses, and they're all at home.
I know. Well, not with that, but
it's hard to win on the road in this league.
Like, you don't win all your road games, right? You just don't. So the fact that you have so many remaining, I'm like, man, like, we need to start knocking out some of these home games along the way.
Because
it gets harder and harder.
These were not easy games at home. These were not games that you – and it's like that in the NFL. You're not just going to go ahead and claim a W, even though some people might feel like you can.
Yeah.
But especially against – you had the Chiefs at home. You had the
We've had the Bucks. You've had the Saints.
And you had
the Steelers.
And the Steelers,
And the only one that came – the only one that's under 500 in any of that group is the Saints. And honestly, it's unfair to look at them at 2-5 right now and say, well, you should have won that. Why'd you have trouble? Because they were 2-1 when they came in here.
Yeah.
And they were not banged up to the extent they are now. Taysom Hill was injured, but that's pretty much it. They have since – had injury after injury after injury, and now they're at 2-5, including, you know, Derek Carr's missed a couple of weeks. But they were at pretty full strength when they came in here.
And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that, and I know you know that, but I'm just saying that these were hard teams that you were playing in your backyard.
It needs to be heard. What you're saying needs to be said, and it needs to be heard.
Let me bring this back around as well, because I had the same feeling Saturday postgame that I did Sunday postgame, and that is that the way that my two teams played this weekend, and I'm going to lump Bama into that because they're lost to Tennessee. None of them feel like shoe-ins, to your point, Tiff.
Yeah,
it's like you ain't going to look at any game after this weekend for Bama or Atlanta. I know Georgia fans probably feeling a little bit different, but I bet Texas fans feel the same way. You're not going to look at any of the games down the stretch and think that those are locks because there's too much up and down. There's too much back and forth. There's all this room for error that it seems like one week everything goes right and the next week everything goes wrong. For you to think that any game is going to be easy down the street. I mean, Dallas has looked terrible. I guarantee you that's going to be a tough game.
That's what I'm saying.
How about Washington when you started the year? You looked at Washington and go, oh, yeah, good, Washington. Rookie quarterback, no big deal. All of a sudden you're like, oh, crap. That ain't going to be a lot of fun.
And they still got the win yesterday. Great, yeah.
Oh, you thought Minnesota was going to be easy. Sam Darnold,
oh my God,
bum.
Dude.
Oh, really? You think so?
It just makes it so much funnier that you talked before the season. Everybody's like, well, the Falcons got the easiest schedule.
You don't do that.
No, we don't.
You know, let's talk about somebody hit me up and said, and Hakeem, he's a big listener, and he's a part of Squid Nation, I believe.
Probably not.
And he goes, well, unwillingness to get sacks. And I just think we should talk a little bit about what they did yesterday. They were extremely aggressive yesterday. They had a lot of pressure on Geno. Two things to me are the reason this team is not getting sacks. First off, I think you're playing so far off in the secondary that you're playing veteran quarterbacks, and they're recognizing, they're able to recognize that, hey, you're playing off, and when they see, and they are obviously probably you're showing some of your hand a little bit with some of these blitzes, and they're getting the ball out quickly because you're giving them so much space in these routes. These receivers have 7 yards, and you can get the ball out quick. The other thing is, when you get there, you have to finish the play. And we haven't finished plays. We flushed Geno multiple times, and you couldn't get him on the ground.
Yeah.
You couldn't get him on the ground. One of it's actually, it turned into a grounding call. But you've got to get quarterbacks on the ground. 2 weeks in a row, we have been there, and we have missed sacks because we haven't finished the drill.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm tired of kind of making excuses for it. When the first few games you play, I'm like, well, the quarterback's mobile. You're going to attack differently. You're going to stay in your rush lanes. You know, when you look at last week, you're like, man, Chuba Hubbard's running. You're more worried about that. You don't mind if Andy Dalton sits in the pocket, this, that, and the other. Look on your you got your card right in front of you. All right, your right tackle on that card is scratched out. And number 65, who on your card is the backup left tackle, who really is their fourth option. He made his first start at right tackle yesterday, Michael Jarrell. What's his school listed on there? Because I can't remember where he's from. He said he played in front of crowds of about 3,000
before. It's Finley. Which is in Carolina, I believe.
I can't make an excuse for that. At one point, and I saw Matthew Judon at one point, I was like, man, he smells blood in the water. And then right after that, James Smith-Williams gets a sack on that guy.
I apologize. Like, it's in Ohio.
I'm like, man, it's about to go down. Like, they can tell that this guy, it's like, hey, I played a good first quarter. And then all of a sudden, he just locked it back down. And well, we couldn't expose the guy. And he's making his first start as a rookie out of Finley as a sixth-round pick.
Matthew Judon, dude, where you at?
No bueno, dude.
Because,
wasn't good.
I'm
red sleeves.
I'm a Judon guy. Yeah, but I don't know. Something's not right. Something's missing there. James Smith Williams was extremely. He played well yesterday. Till he got hurt, he came back in, still played good, but he played well.